Alright everyone, it's the Grimlord here, and I'm back with another video. This is a special edition of the Grim Articles and Rants show. We're supposed to get really fucking cold tomorrow, like super fucking cold, so ice and all that crap, and I might lose power, so I'm trying to get this done and over with. Plus, we have kind of an announcement, because Biden announced that, hey, he's gonna pretty much start World War III, it looks like, with sending 3,000 troops out to Eastern Europe, where there's 10,000 Russian soldiers. I was debating with a guy in the UK about it. He said, oh, well, they've got, 10,000 soldiers out there holding Ukraine hostage and all that stuff. Yeah, that's war games talk, man. That's never good. Means he wants to make his money back from all the inflation. Well, not necessarily the inflation, but all the benefits, the COVID benefits that they gave us. And now we have record inflation. So, you see how that worked. But before we get into all that, let's talk about our sponsors, SpinningRobotPussy.com. Go get a Spinning Robot Pussy. Valentine's Day, it's coming pretty soon. We're in February now. So, it's going to be here before you know it. Get one for your waifu. And those little eyes, the follow me eyes, if you like that. I'm waiting on some lashes for my waifu. I'm going to try the magnetic lashes. But it's going to be a while before they come in. So we'll see. Chinese New Year should be getting over with pretty soon. And also, guys, go ahead and check out the Dragon's Treasure Tea for anime-inspired teas. There's a $7.99 deal that you get, like, monthly teas, and they're really, really good. Several people have told me that. I guess I might go ahead and try them. I am interested. I'm drinking my coffee again, so I can go ahead and drink tea. My health has been pretty good. I mean, I had chili, had slight heartburn. Not the craziness. I'm not spitting up stuff anymore, folks. Every once in a while, I'll go to the bathroom, like, and spit something into the sink right after I eat. But it's not, like, constant spitting anymore. So, obviously, the aloe vera is doing a good job, which is the only thing I'm using right now. That and the probiotics, which I'm going to run out of pretty soon. So, I'll probably be taking, like, a regular Culturelle. I've already taken the hardcore probiotics. That should clean out a lot of shit in my body. There's probably no need to go back to those. So, I'm using those. I'm still going to take my supplements, though, because why not? And, I still take my mushroom blend, and I haven't had any real issues, anything like that. Things have been alright. I think things are probably on the wane. I don't know. I see my doctor on the 11th, so we'll find out what's going on. I'm going to have him do another endoscopy. Just look at it. Tell me what he thinks. What's going on? Is it going down? Am I still esophagitis, which means inflation, not inflation, inflammation in this case. So, yeah, just stuff like that. Check it out, see what's going on. But I'm all right. I can eat chili and it doesn't tear me up, so I guess that's a good sign, right? I'm not taking any omeprazole, anything like that. It's been about 16 days now. Supposed to be in a rebound reflux, but yeah, I'm not really even feeling it. Burning in your chest, like kind of normal heartburn, really. And that never did anything to me because they checked my esophagus and they're like, you don't have any erosion. So, okay, guess it's not that bad. But yeah, we're going to see what he says because it'll be about a week or two and we'll see, oh, if this is getting bad, then, we'll see what else we got to do. But right now, I think it's things are all right. And eventually the rebound reflux does go away and your stomach kind of goes back to normal again, which it needs to. Because I didn't really need to take those hardcore omeprazoles in the beginning, I didn't really have anything that bad. So yeah, that's where I'm at right now. Health isn't that bad. It's better. I feel better. It's good not to have to cough up. I don't even get the itching in my chest that bad anymore. Every once in a while, but I think that's allergies. So, I don't know, guys. Play it by ear. Anyway, let's go on and talk about what we've got started. So, this asshole decided that he wanted to fucking start World War III. And I don't know. I'm kind of pissed. I didn't fucking vote for him. You know, we've already got record high inflation. Record fucking high. I've never seen the prices of things so goddamn high before in my life. They're fucking extremely high. The price of meat's fucking high. The price of just regular shit's fucking high. It's like, oh yeah, let me take $100 and buy like 10 items. It's getting to that point, folks. It's really getting fucking bad. And then you've got massive unemployment. The job market is great. I mean, there's more jobs than there's ever been, but nobody wants to fucking work them. You can't find anybody to work them. You know, I was out for 4 days. They just wondered where I was. They don't want me to quit. They need me. It's not like, oh yeah, no, we don't want you. We need you. Of course, I know you do. But I had 4 days off, and I guess I might have this fifth one if the weather gets too bad and the ice, the roads are too icy. They're closing down all the schools and shit around here. But yeah, there's nobody working. Hard to find anybody that wants to work. The job takes a lot longer because nobody wants to work. It's just not a good situation either way. And now he's like, okay, let's fucking go ahead and send men out to war. So, hey, I feel really fucking bad for you. Because here, this is what's going to happen. Now, one guy said it was a distraction. I don't know about that. Because Biden is a fucking warmonger. He's always been a fucking warmonger. He's been a warmonger since he was in the damn presidency. Not the presidency, but since he was around presidents. You know, when he was a vice president for Obama. Like, he was still a warmonger. He wanted to fucking blow up shit. That's what he wanted to do. Remember when Trump said that these generals and all that, they wanted to blow up shit? And he said that one of the guys, all he had to talk about was blowing up this and blowing up that. And he said, the guy's a loon. He's an idiot. He wants to blow up everything. And I'm like, yeah, it's probably people in there to do that. Like, straight war games. Let's see how many people we can blow up. And Putin's like, yeah, bring it, you know. Putin's like, okay, you're going to bring your men. And don't forget, Russia has nukes. They got more than nukes, though. They got really great hackers that can take our fucking grid down, which would not be good. It would cause bedlam here in the United States for sure. So, there's a lot of shit. I'm not for all this. Like, I don't really like this war. I don't like wars at all. I don't know what the... I mean, the Ukraine has been fighting this shit for 10 goddamn years now. You think they would have won by now. Like, it's been more than 10 years. I remember hearing about this war back when Obama was still president. You know, about Ukrainian young men dying and all that. I told you about my work in the record industry when the Russian bands and the Ukrainian bands, if you got their names wrong, they'd be pissed. Because they're at war with each other still. It's been this stupid war for the longest time. And apparently they're trying to push into Eastern Europe, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I don't know why Russia's doing that. I think it's just war and war games and political posturing. I just think he's trying to flex his muscles now. He thinks he could get by. He's just trying to tout Biden because he knows Biden wants to start a fucking war. Biden wants to start a war and win a war. He doesn't realize that the war he's starting, or maybe he does, might end out in a fucking World War III situation when China joins, and then you have all these other countries. I mean, you've already got troops in Poland and Germany. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be a fucking mess. I don't want any fucking part of it. Look, I'm glad I'm old enough that they can't fucking draft me. But all you young guys, man, it fucking sucks. So, I don't know what's going to happen, man. I really don't. But I will say that these are not fucking good times. Like 2022, I didn't have World War III on the fucking menu for that. You know, Trump avoided it. And I don't know what's going to happen with Russia and peace talks and all this other shit. The diplomatic stuff that they do to try to prevent it. I don't know what's going to happen. We might be able to get out of this one, but we might not. You know, I don't think Putin respects Biden. I don't think he does at all. He respected Trump, but he doesn't respect Biden. And we actually had sort of a friendship with Russia at one time. We weren't really worried too much about what's going on in the Ukraine. I mean, not that it wasn't important, but it wasn't our fucking war to fight. Like, one thing that Trump wanted was for countries to kind of, you know, deal with their own shit, and for the United States to not be everybody's police. You know, we're not the world police. So that's my problem, folks. It's like, oh yeah, we're back to doing this shit again. We're back to wartime America. You know, we had 4 years without war where we should have prepped. If you already did, you know, great. If you didn't, well, you're fucked. But yeah, that's how it goes. I guess things are going to get rough again, and there's really not a whole lot we can do about it. It sucks. You know, it absolutely fucking sucks. A lot of people wanted more time. It's true. A lot of people wanted more time, but it doesn't look like we're going to get it. Hold on, guys. There we go. But it doesn't look like we're going to get it now. It's over, I think. I think things could get rough from here, but you never know. One of the guys said it might be a new Cold War. I said, oh yeah, well, the first Cold War sucked. You had to worry about the damn nuclear missiles. Like, yeah, that's not good. We don't need another fucking Cold War with Russia. There's already games based on the old Cold War. We don't need another one. Fucking ridiculous. I don't know what the fuck's going on anymore. These damn political war games that we're always caught up in. You know? I just wanted to fucking play some Arrowgay and enjoy life, what I have left. I don't know what's going on quite with my body, but I'm dealing with it best I can, because that's what you do. You hang on. And I just talked to my adopted sis, I guess you could say, closest thing to a sister I got. And she told me that I need to go to therapy. She recommends it 3 times a week she goes. And because of the stuff we talked about, if you watch my Maggot Bates video, part 6, I talked about that shit. That was kind of an open-up video for me. I didn't even expect to make that. It was kind of on the spur of the moment where I went into that rant. But, yeah, guys. You know, Ken did a show on the MGTOWN podcast, which will come out pretty soon. And that one really kind of spoke to me. And he's like, you know, I need a therapist myself. And, of course, having therapy with Ken, I guess you could say, really kind of helped. No, I don't want Ken to be my personal therapist. I don't know where people got that idea. I definitely want him to come back on the show. We got more shit to discuss. But when he's at a level head, right now he's going through a lot of shit. I didn't realize it, like what was going on at the time. And I didn't realize he wasn't even doing a show at the time. So my bad. Like, I didn't have no idea, because I kept asking. I was like, are you going to be able to do the show? And wasn't really getting an answer. I'm like, okay, now I see what's going on. So yeah, when he gets stable, I'll go ahead and try to see if we can't do some more stuff with Ken, because I like doing stuff with him when it comes to therapy and mental health. That's one of my favorite subjects, I guess you could say, because it's one that's really needed right now as far as men go. Men aren't getting it. They're just not. And, you know, I'm not getting the kind of help I need. Now, I definitely do think I need, you know, to go see a therapist and talk to a therapist every once in a while. I mean, this is therapy too, yes, but it would be great to talk to somebody, and somebody that fucking knows me and doesn't just tell me what I need to do. Like, there's a lot of therapists out there that just fucking tell you what to do or put you on drugs and that's it. And I'm like, no, I don't fucking want all that. That's not going to make me feel better. It's going to make me fucking medicated zombie. I'd be like The Walking Dead. And I don't want to fucking be like that. I've been like that before. I was on a pill back when I had ADD. And they put me on that shit and I was a zombie. And the world slowed down. And I didn't like it. So, you know, it's a lot of things, guys. But yeah, all this, and then World War III. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's another fucking day and on this blue globe they call Clown World. I don't really know what to do about it. But it sucks. I just feel really bad for you guys that are going to get deployed out that shit. So, yeah, let me go on ahead and get into the articles today, because I know we have them. Let's start with our first article, which is one I didn't even post in the article repository. I posted it right in the main section where I put all my stuff. My updates and all. But here we go. Not going to read too much of it because it's the Communist News Network. But U.S. troops to deploy Eastern Europe. Blech. Let's try that again. U.S. troops to deploy to Eastern Europe amid Ukraine crisis. President Joe Biden has formally approved the deployment of 3,000 U.S. troops to Poland, Germany, and Romania, the Pentagon announced Wednesday, in a move to bolster NATO countries in Eastern Europe when tens of thousands of Russian troops amassed along Ukraine's border. The deployments to Eastern Europe, which were first reported by CNN, are a show of support to NATO allies feeling threatened by Russia's military moves near Ukraine and the threat of an invasion, U.S. officials said. Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby said the deployments included roughly 2,000 troops that would deploy from the United States to Poland and Germany. In addition, approximately 1,000 troops currently based in Germany were moving to Romania. Kirby said the moves, which would happen in the coming days, were not permanent and emphasized these forces are not going to fight in Ukraine. Okay, well that's a little different than what I thought. But you know, things have a way of changing. The move is the most significant sign to date that the U.S. is preparing for the prospect of Russian President Vladimir Putin launching an invasion of Ukraine, as Russia has shown no signs of de-escalating after several rounds of diplomatic talks with the U.S. and NATO. Biden signed off on the additional troops following a meeting on Tuesday morning at the White House with Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and Joint Chiefs Chairman General Mark Milley, officials said. Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov told CNN's Matthew Chance in an exclusive statement later Wednesday that the U.S. de facto is continuing to pump up tension in Europe. Peskov said the deployments are the best proof that we as Russia have an obvious reason to be worried. Oh, great. Biden told CNN's Caitlin Collins Wednesday that the decision was totally consistent with what the U.S. had told Russia throughout discussions. It's totally consistent with what I told Putin in the beginning, Biden said in a brief exchange in the White House East Room. As long as he's acting aggressively, we're going to make sure we reassure our NATO allies in Eastern Europe we're there, and Article 5 is a sacred obligation. Okay, don't know much about Article 5. At the same time the U.S. was preparing to send troops to Europe, the White House said Wednesday it was no longer describing a potential... Well, that is odd. The U.S. was preparing to send troops to Europe. The White House said Wednesday it was no longer describing a potential Russian invasion of Ukraine as imminent, suggesting the word sent an unintended message. I used that once. I think others have used that once. And then we stopped using it because I think it sent a message that we weren't intending to send. Which was that we knew President Putin had made a decision, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said. Last week, Psaki said an invasion by Russian troops of Ukraine continued to be imminent. A description that drew anger in Kiev. Ukrainian officials, including President Volodymyr Zelensky, disagreed, arguing the descriptions could cause panic and economic turmoil. Of course, they go on to say that more troops could be deployed. Okay. All right. So there we go. This is how it starts. But could they finish it? I don't know. We'll see. We will see. All right. Now, one thing I was going to say, though, and I just remember that. All right. So let's talk about NOFAP for a minute. If you're in an apocalyptic situation where you have, like, bombs going off and fucking mushroom clouds, are you going to be like, what are you going to do? Are you going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to have to get off? Or are you going to just, like, take advantage of women? Or, I don't know, maybe women will throw, you know what, that could be the thing. Maybe the women will be like, oh, my God, I'll never have sex, get laid, you know, shit like that. And then the men will be like, ah, and I don't know. It could be something like that. where all the women throw themselves at the fucking men. I don't know. I don't fucking know if we got bombs and all that shit. Things go crazy. You get all the rapists and the pedophiles come out and they think it's full reign. Like, there's all kinds of crazy shit that happens when a society gets to a crisis point. And we could see a crisis point if we're in that kind of situation. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. I'm not saying any of this for sure. I'm not saying that no fab guys are going to go take advantage of women. I'm not saying women are going to throw themselves at men. I'm not saying that any of this is going to happen. I'm not saying that the pedos are going to jump on the kids and do all that. I'm not saying any of that's going to happen. I'm just saying that if you get into a situation like this where it's a fucking crisis, you got bombs going off and all this crazy shit, people are going to start acting a little fucking odd. They're not going to act normal at all. It's going to be bad. Again, society will be straight fucking unhinged. So, getting on with that, let's go to our articles. First article we have. Alright, okay. Alright, so what is this? Rolling Stone. Well, this is probably long as shit. Alright, this article is from January the 30th of 2022. He spent 25 years infiltrating Nazis, the Klan, and biker gangs. Scott was a top undercover agent for the FBI, putting himself in harm's way dozens of times. Now he's telling his story for the first time to sound the alarm about the threat of far-right extremists in America. This man wrote a book. Yeah, this is a full interview. This is probably about, I want to say, 30 to 40 paragraphs long. Oh, man. Well, see, it's really hard for me to go through something like this fucking long. Like, I'm just skimming it now. We're probably not gonna do this one. It's just really fucking long. I get it. This guy's trying to say that the far-right extremists are a pretty bad thing and we need to avoid them and all that. Like, whatever. Like, okay, yeah, there are actual real Nazis out there as far as, like, the neo-Nazi types. I know people like that, unfortunately, but yeah, I think they're pushing it a little bit too far, and this guy, like, he's probably old and getting it confused with other people, so it's a weird situation altogether. Okay, here we go. This is from Reason. It's not that long. We'll go through it. Hispanic students were forced to learn critical race theory. They hated it. During the 2020 fall semester, Cali Fontanilla, a high school English language teacher working in the Salinas, California school district, noticed that many of her students were failing one of their other classes, ethnic studies. This was at the height of the pandemic, and instruction was entirely online, leaving many students in the lurch. Still, Fontanilla thought it was odd to see so many Fs. Salinas has a majority Mexican population. All of Fontanilla's students were Hispanic and were learning English as a second language. Education officials had proposed adding ethnic studies to various curriculums and making it mandatory, as the Salinas school district did, typically intend for privileged white students to learn about other cultures. There's a certain irony in requiring members of an ethnic minority to study this, an even greater irony in the fact that such students were struggling intensely with the course. My students are failing ethnic studies, said Fontanilla, who's of Jamaican ancestry. I would say half of them are failing this ethnic studies class. This made Fontanilla curious about what the course was teaching. All the high school's teachers use the same online platform to post lesson plans and course materials, so Fontanilla decided to take a look. She was shocked by what she saw. This was like extreme left brainwashing of these kids, says Fontanilla. Critical race theory all throughout the lessons from start to finish, the whole thing. God damn. Critical race theory, or CRT, has become a flashpoint in the debate about what kids ought to be learning in public schools. Originally an obscure left-wing body of thought that mostly appeared in graduate schools, critics charge it with influencing diversity workshops for major corporations, training seminars for teachers, and even K-12 curricula. Or K-12 curricula, what we call. Parental concerns about CRT became a major flashpoint in the 2020 Virginia gubernatorial race. After winning the race and taking office, Republican challenger Glenn Youngkin's first act was to ban CRT. Many adherents of CRT deny that it's taught to primary education students, and the mainstream media have been quick to line up behind such claims. That's why Fontanilla's discovery was so significant. The teacher had the kids all learn about the four eyes of oppression, said Fontanilla. The four eyes were institutional, internalized, ideological, and interpersonal oppression. And then there was a whole presentation on critical race theory, and they actually had the students analyze the school through critical race theory. Slides from lesson plans provided from Fontanilla confirmed that the ethnic studies course references critical race theory by name. We're fucked, folks. We're fucked. The original meaning of the theory, at least when taught at college level, is that racism is so pervades... What? Racism so pervades U.S. society and U.S. institutions that it is impossible to separate race from other issues. All policy structures and laws were built under the auspices of racism, a sort of original sin that shapes the country's institutions. In common parlance, opponents often use the term CRT to refer to a broader set of concepts like intersectionality, the idea that there are different kinds of oppression that all stack up on top of each other, and privilege. The kids don't even want this stuff, says Fontanilla, noting that the ethnic studies course replaced a much more popular health class in the midst of a pandemic, no less. Most of them are like, just like, why do we have to take this class? Wow. They would have to direct that question to California Governor Gavin Newsom and the state's Democratic-controlled legislature, which decided to mandate ethnic studies for all public schools. Newsom vetoed a previous mandate, which came under fire because that... Hold on just a second, folks. There we go. Okay. Which decided to mandate... Okay. Newsom vetoed a previous mandate, which came under fire because the proposed curriculum included jargon such as cis-heteropatriarchy? What? And history with an X taken out of the I? The I is removed with an X? What the fuck? That sounds like leftist brainwashing to me. Wow. And refers to capitalism as a form of power and oppression alongside white supremacy and racism, according to Cal Matters. Oh my god. The legislature reworked the ethnic studies proposal, and on October the 8th of 2021, Newsom signed the mandate into law. Beginning with the class of 2030, all public high school students in California would have to enroll in the same sort of course that Fontanilla students already took. Well, maybe with luck, we won't have a civilization by then. In a statement to the Epoch Times, Dan Burns, the superintendent of Salinas Union High School District, denied that the course was based on CRT, though he conceded that CRT is addressed in our course as one of the frameworks within the K-12 Ethnic Studies Outcomes List. Indeed, CRT is referenced in the district's ethnic course syllabus, which is available online. The syllabus stresses that students will study intergenerational trauma through an interdisciplinary and critical lens. Communism! You got them into communism early! That's what they're trying to do. Scholarly articles about critical race theory are included in suggested curriculum, including Whose Culture Has Capital? A critical race theory discussion of community cultural wealth by Tara J. Yasso, a UCLA professor of education who specializes in critical race theory. One of the suggested activities for students is an intersectional rainbow. What? Students will rank their various identities with corresponding colored strings to create intersectional rainbows, gender, race, class, ethnicity, sexual orientation, beliefs, nationality, ability, age, etc. What the fuck happened to teaching the kids ABCs and the 1-2-3s? Now they're trying to teach them that they're all goddamn oppressed? You know what's gonna happen? Bad fucking shit. Really bad fucking shit. Students will compare their and contrast their intersectional rainbows with their peers while framing their discourse within the intersectionality paradigm as laid out by Kimberly Crenshaw. The fuck is that? Crenshaw, a Columbia University law professor, is widely recognized as one of CRT's founding figures. Vanity Fair once called her the mastermind of critical race theory. Vanity Fair needs to fucking stay the fuck out of goddamn political shit to begin with. Other possible classroom activities include hosting a mock trial where they accuse various historical persons of being complicit in the genocide of Native Californians and creating a social justice-oriented counter-narrative. God fucking damn it. Selena's version of the course included a privilege quiz. Students were expected to rank themselves based on their marginalized status of lack thereof. The lesson plan included an image of two white girls, former Republican President George W. Bush's twin daughters, to be precise, at the top of the privilege hierarchy. You know what this does? This creates class warfare. Some people are born in third base and they think they hit a triple, says Fontania, recalling the intended message of the exercise. So basically, they were born on third base and they graduated college because they had a head start. Many people might consider such activities to be a form of left-wing activism infiltrating the classroom. Fontania is one of them. As a Christian, conservative, and a black woman, she doesn't believe the students, especially her students, learning English as a second language, need to be taught to check their privilege. As hyper-race focus, says Fontania. And whenever there's hyper-race focus, racism will follow. Yes! It's gonna make things worse! Fontania decided that district parents had a right to know what was in the curriculum and took steps to obtain the lesson plan so that her job would not be at risk if she leaked them. She contacted an attorney for help, but when they finally received the documents, the district had omitted the slides that included the words critical race theory. Wow. She decided to write a letter to the school board in protest of the ethnic studies curriculum. It was read aloud at a meeting on June the 22nd. I do not appreciate constantly being pandered to and treated differently because of the color of my skin, especially since I did not have the freedom to not go along with it, Fontania wrote, warning that the curriculum was an attempt at left-wing indoctrination. The statement elicited cheers from other parents attending the meeting. In response, the school board prohibited anti-CRT comments at its next public gathering. Wow. Smooth fucking move. You know it's something evil when they got so nasty defending it, says Fontania. This is a black woman, folks. While she has received much praise for speaking out, Fontania has also endured considerable online harassment, including threats of violence. One told her to have fun being a token black friend to racist conservatives your whole life. They're all basically white liberals, she says of the harassers. Isn't it funny how white people get to tell black people how to act when it comes to their own racial discrimination? Well, you're being a friend to white conservatives. Blah, blah, blah. No, you're fucking white. You need to shut the fuck up. Fontania had already decided that she could not remain a teacher in the school district. She and her husband decided to move to Florida, where she hoped to find a better job. The twin experiences of remote instruction during the pandemic and race-focused education has left her feeling cold about the teaching profession. She recalls that during the summer of 2020, in the midst of the Floyd protests, the Selena's administration informed its black teachers, Fontania included, that they would be honored with a gift. The gift, it turned out, was a mask bearing the message, Black Teachers Matter. Lol. I would never wear it in front of my students, she says. I think especially if a kid isn't into Black Lives Matter and wearing this Black Teachers Matter mask, that the kid automatically knows they can't speak up in my class. Right. The gift also included a I Love Being Black sticker. Wow. Man, that's almost offensive. And a letter with an ancient African greeting that acknowledges the God in me and stuff like that. It was just so weird, she says. What the fuck is going on? Wait till this shit fucking spreads. We gotta stop this shit from spreading. This is gonna turn us into a fucking divided shithole even worse than we are. Imagine just everybody believing this goddamn bullshit. Wow, they're teaching kids this fucking bullshit. Vaxxing them, teaching them bullshit. We're fucking the generation. The generation is fucked. Gen A is absolutely fucked. That's what the A stands for. Absolutely fucked. They fucking destroyed the kids. And it fucking sucks. And they don't care. Fucking goddamn commies. Okay, so we got an article here. Chinese scientists create AI nanny to look after babies in artificial womb. Researchers in Suzhou have developed an AI system able to monitor and take care of embryos as they grow into fetuses in the lab. Technology won't be a problem for its future application, but legal and ethical concerns might, warns Beijing-based researcher. An artificial womb for fetuses to safely grow in and a robotic nanny to monitor and take care of them. All within the realm of possibility, says Chinese scientists, and what could be a breakthrough for the future of childbearing in a country facing its lowest birth rates in decades. Oh, unfortunately, I have to subscribe. Hold on, let me see if I can find this article somewhere else. I don't usually do this, but I'm gonna do it. If I lose you, give me a minute. All right, hold on. All right, just give me a minute because I'm doing this live. Sometimes you gotta do shit like that. Okay, so you may lose me, but hold on. I'll just do it like this, guys. Alright. We still on? You still got me? Am I still here? Okay, good. Alright, here we go. Okay. At the realm of possibility, say Chinese scientists in what could be a breakthrough for the future of childbearing in a country facing its lowest birth rate in decades. That is, once the law allows the use of such technology. Researchers in Suzhou in China's eastern Jiangsu province say they have developed an artificial intelligence system that can monitor and take care of embryos as they grow into fetuses in an artificial womb environment. This AI nanny is looking after a large number of animal embryos for now, they said in findings published in the domestic peer-reviewed journal of Biomedical Engineering last month. But the same technology could eliminate the need for a woman to carry her baby, allowing the fetus to grow more safely and efficiently outside her body, the paper says. The artificial womb, or long-term embryo culture device, is a container where they have mouse embryos growing in a line of cubes filled with nutritious fluids, says the team led by Professor Sun Haizong at the Suzhou Institute of Biomedical Engineering and Technology, a subsidiary of the Chinese Academy of Sciences. Earlier, the development processes of each embryo had to be observed, documented, and adjusted manually, a labor-intensive task that became unsustainable as the scale of research increased. The robotic system or nanny now created can monitor the embryos in unprecedented detail as it moves up and down the line around the clock, the research paper says. AI technology helps the machine detect the smallest signs of change on the embryos and fine-tune the carbon dioxide, nutrition, and environmental inputs. The system can even rank the embryos by health and development potential. When an embryo develops a major defect or dies, the machine would alert a technician to remove it from the womb-like receptacle. Current international laws prohibit experimental studies on human embryos beyond 2 weeks of development. However, research on the later stages is important because there are still many unsolved mysteries about the physiology of typical human embryonic development, Sun and his colleagues say in their paper. The technology would not only further help understand the origin of life and the embryonic development of humans, but also provide a theoretical basis for solving both defects and other major reproductive health problems, they add. This comes as China faces a sharp decline in birth rates, with the number of newborns nearly halving in the 5 years from 2016. Net population growth last year was the lowest in six decades, according to the National Bureau of Statistics. Surveys showed young Chinese women increasingly rejecting the traditional priorities of marriage and children. Despite easing of China's one-child policy and other state incentives, low birth rates are a worldwide concern, in fact, especially for developed societies. When SpaceX founder Elon Musk sparked a social media discussion on population collapse some two weeks ago, some tech gurus proposed a lab-made womb as the best solution, as it would reduce the pain, risks, and costs of a childbearing for a woman and her career. Even on Chinese internet and social media platforms, there are growing discussions about artificial womb technology and whether it could be used to reverse the population trend. The Suzhou researchers say their robot nanny is able to identify and track the embryos and take ultra-sharp images of varying depth by quickly switching between different lenses. AI technology also allows the machine to detect and learn from new phenomena that may remain unseen or neglected by humans. And this could accelerate the optimization and iteration of long-term embryonic culture technology in vitro, Sun and his colleagues say in their paper. Artificial womb technology is not new and has developed rapidly in recent years. In 2019, a research team with the Institute of Zoology in Beijing took a fertilized monkey egg to the organ, forming stage in a synthetic uterus, the first time a primate embryo had gone this far outside the mother's body. The same year, scientists in the Netherlands told the BBC that they were within 10 years of building an artificial womb to save premature babies. Another team in Israel brought a batch of over 100 mouse embryos to half-grown fetus stage in March last year. I don't think technology would be a problem, a researcher with the Capital Institute of Pediatrics in Beijing said. The institute would be legal and ethical. Challenges in China and beyond, said the researcher who requested not to be named due to the sensitivity of the issue. Surrogacy is banned in China by law. Artificial womb technology would turn a hospital into a surrogate patient. I don't think any hospital would want to bear that responsibility, the researcher said. Mass production of babies in an artificial womb plant might help maintain the population in a country where citizens are not keen to bear children. But what might be the social or psychological implications? If everyone is born this way, fair enough. But if some children are given birth to by parents and some by the government, there would be a big problem. Very interesting situation there. Okay. Got one from Zero Hedge here. Thank you to the haters. Joe Rogan breaks silence on Spotify controversy, rejects disinformation label. Hours after Spotify said in a statement that it would modify its content policies, which Joe Rogan did not violate, the company clarified, and adopt a content advisory for certain podcast episodes in an effort to placate the snowflakes, Joe Rogan finally broke his silence on the uproar over his podcast in a 10-minute video shared to Instagram. In the video, kind of frank confessional apparently shot by Rogan himself using his own phone, Rogan apologized to those that he had unwittingly offended before launching into a poignant, carefully crafted explanation that gently nudged and reminded objectors about why Rogan's show is a must-listen and a leader in the modern-day podcast gold rush. But first, Rogan asked listeners to ignore certain disparaging headlines that he said misrepresent what he's doing. I wanted to make this video, first of all, because I think there are a lot of people who have a distorted misconception about what I do based on sound bites or hearing of articles that are disparaging. The podcast has been accused of spreading dangerous misinformation, specifically about two episodes, one with Peter McCullough and one with Dr. Robert Malone. Both doctors are highly credentialed while also harboring views on SARS-CoV-2 and how to combat it that are different from the mainstream narrative. Both of these people are very highly credentialed, very intelligent, highly accomplished people, and they have an opinion that's different from the mainstream narrative. I wanted to hear what their opinion is. Unfortunately, there are others who are fearful of what these two doctors have to say and believe that they are somehow personally responsible for the ongoing COVID pandemic. Despite the fact that the science shows it's quite obvious that there's nothing humans can do to stop the pandemic, although they can take steps to limit fatalities. This is the problem. Since the start of the pandemic, public health authorities have seen their guidance proven wrong again and again. As comedian Adam Carolla put it, what have you guys been right about? Makes sense. I haven't even really checked out Adam Carolla in a while. Rogan says something similar, claiming that practically every piece of misinformation has later been proven correct. Everything from whether the vaccinated can still spread the virus to whether COVID may have been created in a Wuhan laboratory, a view that once saw Zero Hedge banned from Twitter for months. The problem I have with the term disinformation, especially today, is that 8 months ago, many of the things that were considered disinformation are now accepted as fact. For example, 8 months ago, if you said if you get vaccinated, you can still catch COVID and you can still spread COVID, you would be removed from social media. They would ban you from certain platforms. He continued, 8 months or a year ago, if you said I don't think cloth masks work, you'd be banned from social media. Now it's openly and repeatedly stated on CNN. If you said I think it's possible COVID may have come from a lab, you would have been banned from many social media platforms. Now it's on the cover of Newsweek. Again, Rogan insisted that he isn't endorsing the views of his guests, nor proclaiming them to be somehow correct or immutable. He's simply exploring a range of viewpoints to help his audience arrive at their own conclusions, instead of being indoctrinated with viewpoints favorable to the masters of whatever corporate-owned media they consume. I don't know if they're right. No, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I'm just a person who sits down with people and has conversations with them. Do I get things wrong? Absolutely. But when I get things wrong, I try to correct them, because I'm interested in finding out what the truth is, and I'm interested in having conversations with people who have different opinions. I'm not interested in talking with people who only have one perspective. Rogan then name-checked several more mainstream COVID experts, Dr. Sanjay Gupta and Dr. Michael Osterholm, a member of President Biden's COVID advisory board, to others as evidence that he is truly interested in hearing a diverse range of opinions and views, not just those who parrot the government-endorsed official narrative. As for the situation with Neil Young, Rogan gamely noted that he's sure there are other things going on behind the scenes. For example, might Young be doing this to try and fetch a higher price for his Lifetime music catalog ahead of a sale, like Bob Dylan did? But still, Rogan insisted that he has always been a huge Neil Young fan, even recounting an amusing story about a Neil Young show he attended while working in concert security in his youth. As for the interviews he conducts with his guests, they are just conversations. Oftentimes, I have no idea what I'm going to talk about till I sit down. That's also the appeal of the show. It's one of the things that makes it interesting. Toward the end of the video, Rogan said this to sum up. I'm not trying to promote misinformation. I'm not trying to do anything controversial. I'm just trying to have regular conversations with these people. My pledge to you is that I would do my best to balance out these more controversial viewpoints with other people's perspectives so that we can maybe find a better view. I don't just want to show just a contrary opinion to what the prevailing narrative is. I want to show all kinds of opinions so that we can figure out what's going on, and not just about COVID, about health, about fitness, wellness, the state of the world itself. And finally, he even thanked the haters for helping to keep him sharp. Even thank you to the haters. It's good to have some haters because it makes you reassess what you're doing. And I think that's good too. All right, we got another one. There are two open jobs for every unemployed American. Yep, I just talked about this. Oh, hold on, guys. I think we're stuck on something here. All right, there we go. The Great Resignation is turning into the Great Job Mismatch. In December, the number of job openings was nearly double the number of unemployed people, according to a report from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics released February the 1st. That's the biggest mismatch recorded since the agency started collecting the data in 2000. The gap has grown as employers continue to post new jobs, even as the number of unemployed people drops quickly. Including people who were temporarily laid off, the number of unemployed workers who fell 7% in December from the previous month, while openings rose 1.4%. The figures are the latest indicator of how COVID-19 disruptions have upended the job market, and that it may still take a while before job demand and supply become more balanced. For now, workers and employees are still struggling to find the right fit, said senior Glassdoor economist David Zhao. And another sign of a tight labor market, the share of laid-off workers inched down a record of 0.8% after sitting at 0.9% since August. Overall, Tuesday's data shows that wages for private sector workers, which grew at an annual rate of 5% in the fourth quarter, will continue rising until employers start matching offers to what job seekers want. Wow. Okay. And our last article for tonight. Oh, by the way, I have an announcement to make. I'm not affiliated with them, but Zoom platform is getting, I mean, they have Duke Nukem 3D, the DOS version. However, that comes with all the expansions, and they are releasing something special. This was released, like, it was formally released, and it's free. Don't worry, you don't gonna pay anything for it. But you'll get the, it's 0 hour, Duke, it's 0 hour, which was actually a official released one that really never got, like, I'm not sure what happened to it, but Zoom got the rights to it. So basically, you will not only get Duke It Out in DC, Duke's Penthouse stuff, all that, but you're also going to get Duke at 0 hour, which is a really kind of rare one, rare expansion. So you'll get that one. I think it probably will work in eDuke. I don't know why they wouldn't. But you'll get that one too if you buy the game on Zoom for about $5.99. So hey, why wouldn't you? Check that out, guys. It's their top selling game right now. So give that one a shot. It's coming soon. I'm not sure when, but it's coming pretty soon. Jordan just announced it. He's been teasing it. It's a really good, cool thing. So there you go. Okay, so, well, this is a bizarre one. Wow. Okay, so we're going to leave off on a very bizarre note. This is the most bizarre article I think I've ever seen. Okay. I have to lay this out for you somehow. Basically, there's a bunch of objects here, right? And they all look like faces. One, they look like cartoon faces. If you think about it, you got two windows and a door, and it looks like a face. And you got other things that look like faces. But this is weird. This shouldn't have been written in the Telegraph. This person needed to talk with their therapist, and they didn't. They decided to write in the Telegraph instead. It says, why you see men in all these objects? From Hitler to Elvis, there seem to be certain faces we see more often in everyday objects, and they're usually male. What? Do you see presidents in peppers, houses that look like Hitler, and the Son of God in your sourdough? You've probably got face pareidolia, a scientific phenomenon in which illusory features appear in inanimate objects. Well, I've got that. I see faces and things. There's lots of faces and different things. You ever looked on top of, like, you're in the bathroom, you know, you're shitting, right? And there's not a whole lot to do before the days of cell phones. You know, you can't go in the doctor's office and just pull out. I have actually almost done that. I went to a doctor's office, like, I pulled out my phone, and I'm like, dude, I can't just sit here in the toilet in a doctor's office. Like, I want to. Part of me just wants to fucking chill on the toilet. But I know I can't. Because they're going to wonder what the fuck's going on. And I'm talking about they had me there for, like, a sample. And I'm like, well, you know, since I'm here, I might as well sit down, get on my phone. And but anyway, before that, you would look at the tiles and you're like, oh, I see a face there. I see that. And you'd look for all the faces in there. You look for faces in quilts and blankets and all kinds of sorts of things. So, yeah, a lot of people do that. There's nothing crazy about it. According to new research, the brain is more likely to spot young male faces. Who the hell did this research? Oh, we're going to find out. Faces and objects than the physiology... What? The physiognomy of older women. Okay, why are we looking for old ladies in objects? That don't make any sense. Hey, that looks like... You see that old woman over there in that table? What do you mean? There's an old woman's face in that table. Who the hell you see that? But... Is that down to social conditioning, hardwired? Or are our eyes not so secretly sexist? I can't. It's not long. Oh no, it is long. It is long. Oh my god, it's long. Why, lady, were you paid for this? Susan Wardle, research fellow at the Laboratory of Brain and Cognition at the National Institutes of Health, Bethesda, and the paper's lead author, charted the response of 4,000 people to everyday objects and found an illusory face in inanimate objects are readily perceived to have a specific emotional expression, age, and gender. What? Participants were asked to state whether each item had a gender, and male faces were found four times as often as female ones. This male bias could not be explained by pre-existing semantic or visual gender associations of the objects, or by visual features in the images the paper found. Cognitive bias was definitely at play, and they added, but they are yet to discern how this occurs. One theory is that we more often see chaps in our chips as a result of threat perception. Where historically speaking, assuming that a quickly glimpsed face is male, and a threat functions as a defense mechanism. Oh god, I needed this. Alerting the viewer to the possibility of conflict. Then there is a case that humans were exposed to more male faces during the earliest stages of development, further upping our likelihood of seeing them in lieu of female ones. The origin of the bias, whether from social conditioning or from perceptual factors such as our visual diet of faces during development, remains an open question, according to researchers. Like, they show Trump in a block of butter, and of course they use his face. Oh, they're these idiots. Emotions are also frequently attached to the images. What? Emotions were also frequently attached to the images participants were shown, leading to judgments of potatoes as listless as handbags as sad. What? Dabblers in internet culture would know that finding faces in everyday objects, which research previously assumed was an early sign of psychosis, is nowadays grounds for going viral with a smattering of social media accounts dedicated to sharing the best. One of which has several hundreds of thousands of followers until being suspended. What? Why? From screaming plugs. Well, fuck Reddit. Reddit is probably Reddit and fuck them. They're fucking stupid. From screaming plug sockets to sleepy pies, angry car bumpers, and doleful bath taps, even the most vague approximation of facial features is unlikely places enough to send online users into a tailspin. Primates do it too, though they're probably less inclined to share their finds on the internet. Lol. A 2017 study found that animals such as the rhesus monkey experienced face pareidolia, poring over photos of illusory faces far longer than those without. Face recognition is very important, said Professor David Elias, psychology professor at the University of Sydney, adding that they are detected incredibly fast. The brain seems to do this, using a kind of template matching procedure, so if it sees an object that appears to have two eyes above a nose and a mouth, then it goes, oh, I'm seeing a face. There seem to be certain faces we see more often, including that of Richard Nixon, whose resemblance to a range of vegetables from peppers to aubergines has proven catnip for the armchair pareidolic. Jesus also has typically food-based form, showing up on toast and in dregs of Marmite jars and crisps and banana skins, pancakes, and potatoes. Elvis Presley is another common spot, making his presence known via cloud formations and ketchup-covered chips. Distinct features such as pronounced jaws a la the King and Nixon or Messiah's flowing locks could be why certain faces seem to appear so frequently, though researchers have yet to investigate. As elsewhere in life, albeit a touch less importantly here, women are less likely to take center stage. Wow, we're not seeing women in enough objects. Sexism! Sexism! That's not to say they're completely absent from the ardent face pareidolia's findings, however. Whoopi Goldberg's resemblance to a red onion has been documented. Ditto an approximation of Mother Teresa and fellow nuns and cinnamon buns. One jelly bean resembling the Duchess of Cambridge was listed on eBay at a starting bid of 596 pounds, or euros rather, while a toasted cheese sandwich depicting the Virgin Mary sold on the same site for over 20,000 euros. What? It's a lot of dough for what was, at the point of purchase, a decade-old lunch. But the internet casino that bought it remained confident that this integral part of pop culture was worthy of the sum and a subsequent world tour. Manchego from heaven, perhaps, or plain madness, more like. Still, there are more upsides to conjuring facial features where they may not be... not seeing them at all. Professor Elias suggests, from an evolutionary perspective, it seems that the benefit of never missing a face far outweighs the errors when inanimate objects are seen as faces. When objects look compellingly face-like, it is more than interpretation. They really are driving your brain's face detection network. Calculating the expressions of those faces is key, he adds, to determining whether they are a friend or a foe. Seeing the Cookie Monster in a Lou roll hauling lorry or Donald Trump in a butter tub is certain to survival. You heard it here first. Okay, so that was just a bunch of bullshit. I'm gonna read my my comments and then we're out. Okay. I miss anything, Invader Tech says. More like critical race theory, he says. And then he shows a bunch of screens of things. Only CRT worth a damn. Ah, they're CRT screens. And then he says, yes. And that was probably to the fact of, was I still here? Okay. Basically, okay. Ace Lakin was telling me. He said, yeah, I said, we're not getting any more time. I said, no, Fappers, it might be time to stop while you can. Or, I don't know, maybe you're just going to take advantage of the women like in the hentai games during apocalyptic scenario, because I totally see that shit happening. Society will be straight fucking unhinged. And he says, you gave me shit, you literally said this. What the fuck? Come on, man. Well, I said what I said. I said that these nofap guys, like, oh, look at me, I'm not, goddamn water bug. Get. I actually have a water bug crawling across my keyboard right now. They're a pain in the butt. They're looking for water. Anyway. Alright, so let me explain this. Because, Grimlord, you need to explain yourself, you pussy. Okay, so I'm going to explain myself. And the guy jumped off. But let's explain myself. Okay. First of all, I have said this many times, that people will act very differently in crisis situations. I talked about it recently, maybe 45 minutes ago, I guess. I'm not sure quite when we started. But I remain truthful to what I say here. Like, you know, I'm sticking to my guns, basically. Yeah, hard to get the word out right away, but yeah, I'm sticking to my guns. Yeah, it's true. Some of these guys, they might go a little crazy. You know, they're like, well, you know, because a lot of nofap guys, they're like, well, I only gotta come in a pussy. Like, that's the only thing they want to do. They want to come in a pussy. Like, that's the, oh, I can't. Because I remember actually talking to some nofap guys. They're like, the only place to come is in a pussy. And I'm like, okay, so what are you guys gonna do? There's no more pussy. Like, I mean, I guess you can, like, maybe these women will throw themselves at you. They might throw themselves at you. They might, oh my god, I'm not gonna get to come anymore either. Well, I don't know, they might use their little things. Women don't, you know what's weird? Women don't have a nofap. They don't. They're encouraged to have all the vibrators and everything in the world. Like, vibrators and all these other toys. I know there's some women that are against doing it, but it's very small. Most women embrace the vibrators and all the toys and all the crazy stuff like that. And the piston device, the Sibian and all that. They embrace this kind of stuff. So, why are men treated differently? Why do men have to adhere to these things if women don't? You know, we talk about double standards. That's a big double standard. Oh, you can't have toys, you can't masturbate, you can't do anything. No fap, bro. You only gotta come in a pussy. Okay. So, I mean, there's two situations. There could be one where the women are like, no, don't touch me, oh my god, all these crazy guys. And then the men will, I don't know. It probably will be like a lot of apocalyptic scenarios where in all actuality, people will throw themselves at each other. And, yes, the fucking pedo shit, unfortunately, shit fucking happens. It's bad. You have murderers. People always wanted to kill people. They get, basically, society comes unhinged. Imagine everybody has things that they basically lock themselves in while they're in, so they can basically function in society. Like, you may think about killing somebody, but you're like, well, I can't do that because I'll go to jail. But now you're like, well, if I kill that person, they can't really put me in jail because the world's going to end. It's going to be blow up, all kinds of stuff. World will be nuked, you know, fallout. I'll probably be annihilated. So, you know, fuck it. I'm going to kill that guy. Or fuck it. I'm going to rape that girl, whatever. Or just, some people just get off on that. We might have women that fucking do crazy shit. Women might try to kill and murder. It's not just men. But people do crazy shit in crisis scenarios. So that's what I was saying. These guys are like, NoFap, maybe. Maybe. You know, I'm just saying. There's a lot of possibilities in that kind of scenario. So yeah, that is my fucking answer to that. As in, yes, it could happen either way. Either it could be rape, or it could be everybody throws themselves at everybody because it's the last time they have sex before they die or something. Or maybe, you know what, even in the other situation, maybe it happens and they don't even know it. Maybe the missiles just fall and nobody knows it and nobody really prepared for it and that was it. So, I mean, that happens too. Maybe there is no real warning. Maybe it just, boom, happens. You know, there's a lot of situations. Maybe nothing happens. But what I'm saying is, in these situations where society collapses, you're going to see people at their most unhinged and animalistic. Keep in mind that word, animalistic. People start reverting back to animal instinct. That's survival, that's sex, that's murder. It's a lot of crazy shit that happens. People do a lot of crazy shit in these situations. So that's what we got to be thinking about, folks. And that's what I mean with these fucking NoFap guys. Oh, you gotta come in the pussy, bro. Well, maybe you'll get it thrown at you, or maybe, you know, I don't know. I don't know what these guys are gonna do. But I know if it was like the end of the fucking world, man, like, I don't know what's, fuck, my neighbor could be knocking the door. Hey, you wanna, what? I mean, you never know. It's fucking crazy. It's gonna be like the end of the world, so like, yeah, shit happens. I don't know. We'll see. I'll get back to him and said, address this on the program. Anyway, well, I thank you guys for being a part of this extra bonus show. And unfortunately, we're at a very deep fucking part of Evil Within 2 right now. This is probably one of the big moments of the game, one of the big movie scenes right here, where he's gonna fight the priest. Yep, that's the big movie scene right there. I mean, I do like this story better than Resident Evil 7, even though it is the same story. Let's see here. I'm gonna go ahead and end it now, though. Because, don't really know. I mean, I kind of wanted to, show the whole movie off, though. At least get through the movie scene here. Okay. Okay, yeah, I think that's it. We're just waiting for the movie to end. Again, check out our sponsors. Definitely check out our sponsors. And, alright, there we go. I think, yeah. Alright, I know what happened. Yup, this whole fucking scene sucks ass. She dies, folks. This fucking sucks. I hate this scene. She died trying to save you. Because basically all the zombie guy or whatever, the infected killer. Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, I hate that. And then of course, they don't attack you though. They leave you alone. Like, you survive. Oh man. This whole thing just fucking sucks. But, yeah. I don't know, folks. We're in a weird situation right now. Just a really weird situation. Got war, massive unemployment, fucking inflation going like mad, can't afford anything. You know, I get paid, but I'm like, oh, I gotta buy groceries. Like, I don't want to buy groceries because I'm afraid to look at the prices. I mean, I'm seriously afraid to look at the fucking prices. I'm like, man, how much is it gonna cost? It's a pretty crazy situation. All together. Alright, so, Also, one other thing I gotta announce. This is the last thing I'm gonna announce because we're actually in the final 2 hours and 49 minutes of Evil Within 2. That's the end of the game, including the credits. So, we're switching games. First of all, we thank you guys for hanging out with us and watching the Evil Within 1 and 2 complete. So, our horror stuff is kind of over with, and we're going to start with Holy Angel Rika, I believe. Yeah. Holy Night Rika. I guess my mind just kind of slipped. I've been talking too much or whatever. But yeah, Holy Night Rika is the game that we're going to be showing you next. The first scene will have a censored kind of goblin rape. Only reason I'm showing that scene is because it's important to understand what happened to her to make her change. And yeah, there is a story there. Definitely a story. And what I've done is I've taken out all the other age scenes. So that first video will not be on BitChute. You'll have to catch it on MGTOW.TV because I don't think BitChute is going to let me show a goblin rape. Just not going to let me do it. So what I have done is I painstakingly cut a lot of footage out. And I cut, 15 hours of footage down to about 12. But yeah, you'll be able to see a lot of Rika and a lot of gameplay. You're going to be surprised how much gameplay is in this game. But like, well, damn, this is an actual fucking game. I thought there was going to be all these sex scenes. And yes, there is. If you let your character be defeated in certain ways by certain enemies, you do unlock special H scenes, and sometimes they give you special clothes. And, I mean, I wasn't really that worried about it. I mean, I'm sure there's some of those clothes that may, because clothes and armor, or clothes are armor, and they affect your skills in the game. You know, you don't just put on clothes so they look nice. You put on clothes so they also change armor ratings. You know, like everything from movement speed to damage to resistance to certain elements. So they really thought about it when they made this game. You can make your character look like, a maid, but she might not be that powerful. So it's up to you what you want to do with your character. At any rate, though, guys, this will be the Grim Lord. I thank you for joining us here on Grimm's, Games, Articles, and Rants. Whatever we call Grim Articles and Rants Show. Whatever. I've been talking too much today, I guess. And I'm going to start playing Evenicle 2 Rants in a bit. So you guys take it easy. And this is the Grim Lord. And I am out of here. Later. Enjoy the decline.